Tonight, I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to go back to the book of Ecclesiastes. I know in our life groups over the last several weeks, we just finished up the study through the book of Ecclesiastes. But I want to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and there's a few verses tonight that I want us to look at, and we'll be in verse 9 down through verse 12 in just a few moments. I've said to you now for a number of weeks and a number of months that there's really two reasons why people attend church. Most of the time, people are coming to church for the first time or for the first time in a long time simply because there is some kind of need that they have and they're searching for some kind of answer. They're searching for something to do. They're searching for some help. They're searching for guidance. They're searching for love. They're searching for something to be able to help them in some capacity. And we see that happening all the time. But the second reason people come to church is they're looking for friendships. They're looking to establish relationships. They're tired of friendships in the world. They're tired of people letting them down. They're looking for Christian companionship. They're looking for people to love them and care for them and pray for them and support them in a genuine and a real way. It's been said about friendship. C.S. Lewis said this, is that friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, "What? You too? Well, I thought I was the only one." Irma Bombach wrote, she said, "A friend is someone who thinks that you're a pretty good egg, even when you're a little cracked." That describes most of us, doesn't it? There was a British publication once that offered a prize for the best definition of a friend, and among the thousands of answers that were received were the following. A friend is one who multiplies joy and divides grief. A friend is one who understands even our silence. And a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world seems to be going out. And we know that as friends. We've experienced that as friends. Hopefully we've given that kind of friendship. And so tonight kind of concludes my intentional teaching series that I think this is actually message number 16 as it relates to being intentional. And I've said to you for the last several weeks that I want us to be known for certain things. I want part of our value system here at Gateway Church, the intentional value system that we have, to be known for relational worship, for relevant teaching of the Word of God, for gospel impact, for fervent prayer, the idea of being spiritual leaders, as I shared with you last Sunday night. I mentioned this morning about these healthy families. And then tonight, I want us to be known as having lasting friendships among us. So when we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Solomon has experienced what one writer called the independent man. He kind of lived life for himself. He'd lived life to the fullest. He was trying to get everything out of life that he possibly could enjoy. And I think as we get to these verses here, I think that independent kind of thinking has caused him to consider the importance of what friendship is all about. The idea of valuing other people, bringing people together, and how important that is to an individual and certainly to that relationship. There's a Jewish proverb that says this, a friendless man is like a left hand bereft of the right. And maybe that's what Solomon was thinking, that a man who goes through life by himself is really missing something very, very important because he doesn't have a friend to be there with him. And so as you notice the beginning, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look at the first part of verse 9. And so he kind of draws everything to a conclusion now, and he says this. He says, two are better than one. And my desire for us as individual Christians, as a body of believers here, that we develop lasting friendships, obviously first and foremost for God's glory, but I believe these lasting friendships can be used in ministry, but I also can believe that these lasting friendships can be a benefit to ourselves and even to our families. So as we just kind of look through the verses here that Solomon has given to us, I think there's some wonderful thoughts that he gives to us that tells us what really lasting friendships are all about. The first thing he says to us is that lasting friendships develop through investment. Lasting friendships develop through investment. Notice now the last part of verse 9. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Now, two workers can certainly get a lot more work done than just one individual working when it comes to this particular matter. And I think even if they divide the profits, I think they still get a better return on their efforts because there's been two put into the effort instead of just one. And also, it's a lot easier to get through some difficult jobs. If you've got two people working on a tough project, it's a little easier to get through that than just one person trying to shoulder the load. And so the very best investment that I think that you and I will ever make is really not a financial one. I think one of the best investments that we'll ever make is an investment that we make into relationships, and relationships that's going to matter for eternity. And we'll get the best return on that investment, really over any other investment that we'll ever be able to make. And so as you go through life, honestly, there's just a couple of things that people genuinely give their lives to. One of those is that people simply try to accumulate possessions. And you see that all the time. People are always trying to make more money to buy more stuff. People are always trying to gain more stuff, buy more stuff, have more material things here. And they're constantly trying to get more or better stuff. They're almost like the late Malcolm Forbes, who says, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Well, that's not true. It is not true, because you know what you do? You leave those toys. The only thing you're going to take to heaven is the relationships that you're able to have with other Christian people and be able to see them in heaven one day. And so if we just spend our time constantly trying to accumulate more and more possessions, I don't think we'll ever be truly happy and truly fulfilled as God has desired us to be. And so one of the things that people give their lives to is simply just attaining more things, grabbing more possessions in their life. But on the other hand, I think we can also give our lives to honestly building relationships with other people, and trying to make friends, trying to be a friend to someone. And in order for that to happen, what you and I are going to have to do is we're going to have to invest on being a friend to someone else. Now, notice I didn't say gaining friends. I didn't say having everybody like me. I didn't say everybody come and be my friend and I have a table set out in the foyer and you can sign up to take me out to dinner every night this week. I said the idea of building these relationships is that you and I are investing. Some of you are taking that. I can see the wheels turning, right? I can really set up a table after church, Pastor? No, you can't. You can't do that. The idea is that you and I should be investing and being a friend to someone else. I think the first half of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says it so well. A man who has friends must first make himself friendly. And so if you want friends and you want to have friendships and you want to have lasting relationships, you've got to invest in other people by being a friend to them. It's been said the best way to form a friendship is to become interested in other people, not trying to interest people in you. And that's really what friendships are about. The friendships that you and I have that are close to us, what you will find is that people have invested in you and you have invested in them. And when you do that, there's a connection, there's a relationship, there's a bond, there's something that begins to develop that's different from other people, because so many people are trying to get from us. And when you have a person who's constantly trying to give to you, that's a totally different person and you need to hang on to them. And so Solomon says, look, he says, if we're going to have these lasting friendships, it's going to start with an investment for you, from you and I to put into someone else to make their life better. But the second thing he says is that lasting friendships develop through support. Notice now verse 10. He says now that if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. The roads and the paths in Palestine of that time, they were not paved like we have. To be honest with you, they really weren't even leveled out. And some of you'd say, well, much like the streets of Virginia Beach, right? Just a little pun, little joke there. There are some hidden rocks. It was tough terrain that they were walking on in these fields. It was not uncommon for an unexperienced traveler at that time to stumble and fall, perhaps maybe crack or break a bone, and sometimes there was some hidden pits that were there that they weren't even able to see. And so Solomon says here, he says, how wonderful it is to have someone walking along the path of life, if you will, to help you, that when you stumble and fall, to be able to be there to help you and to pick you up, to be able to lift you up out of that pit, and to be able to dust you off a little bit and help you back up and keep walking, to be able to mend some wounds that you might have as we go through life. And so if he's talking about the physical here, then how much more does that really apply to our spiritual lives, even when we need restoration in our lives? And how grateful that you and I should be if we have true Christian friends who are able to help us walk straight, to talk straight to us, to tell us what we need to know, not just what we want to hear, and to love us and to pray for us and to cry with us and to support us and to help us in any manner possible. How wonderful that is to have that kind of support. And so Solomon says, if you want these lasting relationships, these lasting friendships, you're going to have to invest in people and be a friend to them. And doing that, you're going to have to support them. You know, a lot of people in your life, you perhaps could call acquaintances. But perhaps you really have a little bit of a difference when it comes to what you might call true friends or real friends. Now, we all have a lot of acquaintances, people that we know. But who are your true friends? Who are your real friends? Now, you might ask the question, well, how can I tell the difference? How can I tell the difference between an acquaintance and a true friend? One writer said, well, just make a mistake or get into trouble, and whoever's left there to help you is your true friends. Because most people, when trouble comes, or they've got to put out some effort, or they've got to expend some energy to help someone, what are they going to do? They're going to bolt. They're going to take off. They're going to leave. But true friends are going to be there to help you, to walk with you, to restore you, to pray with you, to talk with you. They're going to be there to be with you. I think a real friend is that person that you call at 2 o'clock in the morning and you say, hey, I need you over here. And they don't ask, so what's the problem? Tell me what's going on. And they simply say, well, where are you as they're getting dressed to come to you? And that's some special people. Some special people that are going to come to you at any time for any need, for anything. There's some special people like that. I just wonder tonight, I wonder how many people do you have like that in your life that truly support you? I hope and pray tonight that every person here has at least somebody, has a group of friends that honestly at any time, for any reason, you can call them and they'll come to you and they'll help you and they won't judge you and they won't put you down. They'll just be there to help you in whatever's going on. Maybe a better question is this. Not how many people are there for you to help you, but I just wonder how many people are you there for to help them? That they can call you at 2 o'clock in the morning and you say, hey, I'll be right there. They can call you and say, hey, I need you to pray about something, and you keep it confidential. Your ox is in the proverbial ditch, and you're there to help them. You're not making fun of them. You're not judging them. You're just there to help. I wonder how many people we actually do that for. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Solomon said, listen, these lasting friendships are going to come when we invest in other people. And we do that when we certainly support them and we help them. But then he adds a third element. Notice verse 11. He says, lasting friendships develop with encouragement. He says in verse 11 again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Now, two travelers that were camping out or maybe even staying in the courtyard of a public inn would certainly feel the cold of the Palestinian night, and they would need one another's body heat. They would need one another's presence there to be able to keep warm and to be able to be a help to them. I often think about my dad, and some of you younger folks, you have no idea what I'm talking about here, but some of you older folks, you'll know what I'm talking about. My dad, when they grew up, he had a number of brothers and sisters, and they had just a big stove on the first floor of the house. And that was the main heating source for the home. You know, they didn't have an upstairs air conditioner. They didn't have upstairs heating. And he tells this to be true. And I've always questioned him, but as I've gotten older, I've begun to realize it was true. He said at nighttime, they would go in and they would take bricks and they would put bricks on the top of the stove so that those bricks would get warm. Then they would go upstairs. And they all didn't have their own each individual bedrooms. There would be two or three or sometimes four sleeping in the same bed. And he said, what we would do underneath two or three layers of quilting and covers, we would put those bricks at the foot of the bed so that our feet would stay good and warm at night. And then when one turned over, everybody turned over in the bed. And I thought, man, Dad, you're telling me one. And I started asking around. And I started realizing the kind of home that he grew up in. And I started realizing that was their own heating source. And I thought, more than just a funny story, that's pretty ingenious. I mean, that's pretty smart to be able to do that. But the idea was that they all kept warm by being together. They all were warm by sleeping there together. And I know in our society today, that's just all weird and those kind of things. But, you know, listen, that just didn't hurt anybody because they were brothers and sisters. They loved each other. They were there for one another. And they were keeping warm together. But I think Solomon is saying to us tonight, more than just a physical warmth, there's times that we need a friend for some emotional strength, even when we're facing some very difficult circumstances in our life. You know, there's times that we all have said, and we've heard other people say, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this right now. We've all been there. We've all said that. And that's just the time we need for someone to come along and be that warmth of encouragement to them. Many of you know one of my close pastor friends is Jason Miller. Jason pastors down in Alabama, and 4 or 5 years ago, he was diagnosed with colon cancer. It was devastating to me. It was devastating to his family, and you just know Jason. Jason's one of those guys that he's going to trust the Lord. He's going to push through. He's going to keep working. He's going to keep going on, and he's just going to depend on the Lord to take care of this, and we're going to keep moving on. And that's exactly what his attitude was. Paul and I were trying to figure out exactly what, you know, we could do, and you know, there's really nothing we could do except pray, and then we were trying to make sure we were there. You know, sometimes as pastors, you know, you're always there praying for someone else, or you're there at the hospital, or you're there visiting or something like that. And then when it's the pastor in the hospital, it's just kind of different. And so I knew that we were pretty close in different things, and I won't call any names here, but I'll just say there was a few folks even here at Gateway that just even helped make it even more possible for Paul and I to be an encouragement to them. And God knows exactly who those individuals were. But God just worked it out for us to be able to be there for them. And I never forget Jason's look face when we walked in. He was just like, what are you doing here? I don't say this tonight to say anything about what Paul and I were able to do. I just say this to know that there were two people who lived their life for everybody else who were hurting. And God made it possible for us just to go there. And you know what we did? We did exactly what we try to do with people here. We were just there. We were just there to love on their kids. We were just there to run to get something to eat and come back. We were just there to pray, you know. And listen, I'm going to tell you, one of the worst things, I say it sounds bad, one of the worst things that can happen is when you put a prep room full of preachers trying to pray all at the same time. It was a little crazy that morning, but that was what was happening. But honestly, it's been 4 or 5 years since that time, and Jason and Jennifer both, they look at us differently. And I'm not saying that we're anything special, but we were there for them to give them some emotional support, to give them a little bit of warmth. And sometimes we think that these lasting friendships, we have to buy something, or we have to do something extravagant, or we just have to be over the top. Listen, one of the great things that you can ever do as a friend is simply just be there and just be a warmth of encouragement to someone else. And that's what Solomon ultimately is saying here. Many of you have read the Five Love Language book, and the premise of that book is that we all have this emotional love tank. Well, if I could kind of borrow that thought for just a moment, I think all of us have this, even an emotional gas gauge in our life. And I say this truthfully, there are some people that are around us that honestly, they drain us. And when we get finished talking with them, we're on E. I mean, there's just so much drama that's associated with them. They're always talking negatively about someone or something. They're always being critical of you. They're always being critical of everyone else. And when you get finished with them, I mean, you're just drained. But then, yeah, there's some people that just by being around them, it goes the complete other way simply because you're just around them. And they're just different. They're not critical. They're encouraging. They're uplifting. They're laughing. They're more concerned with you than they are themselves. They're trying to build you up. They're trying to lift you up. They're trying to do everything they can to make sure you are the center of attention. And just by being around them, you just feel so much better. And we all know people that are like that. I wonder tonight, which one are you? Are you the drainer? Or are you the filler up? Which one are you? I wonder tonight, what would people say about you? Because a real friend that builds a lasting friendship is not going to be that one that constantly drains the life out of everybody and everything. It's going to be that person that brings joy, that brings happiness. And yes, there are some times we just got to talk about things. And there's just some things that we just got to get off our chest. And by the way, lasting friendship, you can talk about anything to anybody. But it's not that stays over here. It's that which stays over here. Solomon says there has to be some warmth. There has to be some encouragement that comes along here. And then one last thing he says in verse 12. He says, lasting friendships develop through protection. Notice verse 12 now, and he says, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, he says, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Again, at that time, it was dangerous for people to travel alone, whether it was in the daytime, but certainly at the nighttime. And so a lot of people, they traveled in groups. You might even say they traveled in herds, and they did that for fellowship, and they certainly did that for safety. You look back to 2 Samuel chapter 21, and David was grateful for a man by the name of Abishai who stepped in, and he really saved the king's life from one of the Philistines. And so it was a common practice that they traveled with other people with them for that fellowship, but certainly for that safety. But also when these words were written, there was a military strategy that was used in the ancient world. And almost all the combat was done in a hand-to-hand kind of combat. And so when the soldiers went into battle, they went in with a partner. And it was a partner, someone that they could count on. It was somebody they could trust. It was somebody they trusted implicitly. And so what would happen is the soldiers, they would stand back to back with one another. And as they stood back to back with one another, what they were always doing is they were always keeping their backs in contact with their friend, their trusted confidant, their partner here in this battle. And they were always traveling together and they were always moving together. And so from whatever side the enemy came, there was somebody in the front, there was somebody in the back. There was somebody in the front, there was somebody in the back. And so whatever angle that was, it was somebody there to provide that protection in the battle. And so I think the point that we're trying to get across here is friends not only never stab you in the back, but they also guard your back too. And a lasting friendship is going to be a friendship that's a protecting friendship, a friendship that is there to provide protection. You're always looking out for the betterment of someone. You're not going to let anyone else gossip about them. You're going to protect your friend's reputation. And you and I both know that even in the church world, folks like to run some people down. People like to speak negatively, lift themselves up and put somebody else down. A lasting friendship, a friend is going to be back to back with one another. They're going to make sure that they're guarding the reputation, they're guarding the good name, they're guarding that individual, and they're in the battle with them. So Solomon, if you notice this, go back to verse 8, he starts with the number 1. You go back to verse 9, he starts with the number 2. But then he goes to verse 12 and he mentions this idea of the number 3. And so he says one cord could easily be broken. Two cords bound together. It's going to require a little bit more strength to be able to break that. But he says you put three cords together and you wound them up and bound them together. Well, that's not easily broken at all. And so the idea, if two travelers, if two workers, if two people are better than one, well, then you have to understand that three being together in a friendship is going to be the best. And so I think when you kind of look at the totality of what he writes, even in this small paragraph, he's given us the details of what a wonderful friendship is all about. I was thinking back this week, and it was actually 22 years ago to this weekend. I was riding with Dan Patrick from Kentucky down to North Carolina, and I was going to attend the Spring Bible Conference at Southeastern College. I was going back with him, and I was struggling at that time whether or not I was maybe kind of going into the ministry in a full-time capacity as I am now, didn't know if what God was doing in my life and where God was leading me and different things. And so for about 8-9 hours, Dan and I had an opportunity to kind of talk back and forth. You know, in our family, Dan is my first cousin and the retired pastor of Faith Church there in Goldsboro. You know, Dan is looked up, he's looked up pretty highly in our family and for good reasons. And so I'm trying to glean all the wisdom that I possibly can from him. I'm trying to really get some ideas as to what I should do as a young man, and God was working in my heart, and he knew that, and I shared that with him. And one of the things I said to him was this. I said, where I am in small town Kentucky, I said, I know everybody. You know, I said, I can walk into Walmart and I know everybody there. Everybody knows who I am. And I said, I'm comfortable with that. I like knowing that. I like being around people that I know. And if I move to North Carolina or I'm in the ministry here and I leave home, I don't know how I can handle that. I don't know what that's like. And he said this, and I'll never forget it. And hear me out before, because it's going to sound a little arrogant at first. He says, I understand what you're talking about. He said, you know me, I came from kind of small town Ohio. But he said, God has opened up so many doors of friendships. And he said, I say this not in a bragging way. He said, I say this truthfully. He says, there's not a state in the United States that if I were to break down, it would not be within just a few short hours that at least somebody that I would know would be able to come and help me in some capacity. And I thought, okay. What are you talking about? Well, what he was talking about was that God, through ministry, had opened up so many doors of opportunities for friendships to develop. And through years of ministering and years of preaching and years of sharing the gospel and years of being involved in God's work, he developed friendship after friendship after friendship after friendship after friendship. And that friendship wasn't just in the small town. That friendship wasn't just in a bigger city. That friendship was really across the United States and even around the world. I heeded Brother Dan's advice, and I stepped out on a big step of faith that started for Paul and I 22 plus years ago. And I can tell you that everything he said that night was 100% accurate. Because you've heard me say this, and I'll say it one more time. One of the great joys of ministry in my life are the friendships that I've been able to develop. It is without question one of the greatest joys of being in the ministry are the friendships that I've been able to develop. I mentioned Jason there in Alabama, and I hate to call even specific names because I feel like I'm leaving somebody out. But Jason Miller has been a great friend to me, and I hope I've been a great friend to him. And Brian Williams in Buffalo, New York is another kind of part of my inner circle of friendships. Heath Ferguson is another one that I've tried to pour my life into to help him and develop him. And he's done the same for me with encouragement and different things. And again, there's so many other people that I could think about. I go back to my days at Southeastern College and the time that we were at Faith Church in Goldsboro. And the Lord called us to Durham, North Carolina, and at Shady Grove Church there, and the friendships that I developed there. And even going to Bowling Green, Kentucky at Trinity. And obviously here at Gateway. I mean, all of you are so special to me. And all of the friendships that I've been able to develop and all of the fun times and the times that we've cried together and the times that we've prayed together and the times that we've worked together. And I could go back all throughout ministry life. But those friendships are invaluable. They just are. You know what? Money comes and money goes. To be honest with you, church work comes and church work goes. But these friendships, they last a long time. And they're there. They're there. They're there. Several of you, Olivia graduated this past year. Several of you came by and were part, visited her graduation party. And several of you said, hey, man, where did you guys get those cooks? I mean, the food was just, it was incredible. Well, the food came from Dwayne and Andrea George. And you've seen them many times, sit right over here. They come and visit us often. And those were friendships that we developed when we were in Durham, North Carolina. I remember the power went out one time. I mean, it was just a huge power outage, and it was cold outside. And they opened up their home, and there was 20-plus people, something like that, that were living in their home for 3 days, including college students. And you know what? That was one of the great memories of our life. But they were just that kind of people. If I needed Dwayne George right now, I could call him up right now and say, Dwayne, I need you right now in Virginia Beach. Now, Dwayne make fun of me about some reason. I promise he would. We just got that kind of, but Dwayne be here just like that. Did I deserve that kind of friendship? Do I deserve your friendship? Do I deserve that? I don't deserve any of that. But I'm thankful that I have it. And I'm thankful that God's allowed me to invest in you, and I'm thankful that you've invested in me, and I'm thankful that we have that kind of friendship. And I'm telling you today that I really do believe that these lasting friendships are what God uses in great and mighty ways. And so tonight, do you have a lasting friendship because you are a true friend to someone else? Not because someone's a true friend to you, but because you are a true friend to someone else. Again, I go back to Proverbs chapter 18. A man who has friends must himself be friendly first. It's the idea of being intentional. Intentionally being a friend to someone. Intentionally investing in someone. Intentionally supporting them. Intentionally encouraging them. Intentionally protecting them. That's what Solomon is saying to us. And so these lasting friendships will be that threefold cord that he mentions in verse 12 that God's going to use. It's not going to be broken, and God's going to use it for his glory, and God's going to use it for our good. And so tonight, more than just writing down who your friends are, or maybe just kind of patting them on the back as you walk out and going, thank you for being a good friend to me, and I hope you do that tonight. I wonder tonight, who is it that you could invest in? What new friend can you find? Who is it? Is it somebody here at the church? Is it somebody you work with? Is it somebody that's in your neighborhood? Maybe it's somebody in your family. It may start with a card that looks like this. It may start with an Easter invite card. I don't know what God might use. Many times we think about people being friendly to us and us being in a big group. But I just wonder tonight who you might be able to invest in, who you can be a friend to. And so more than just thinking about that name, I'm going to challenge you tonight, and here's really the invitation. I want you to go and make a friend. I want you to go and invest in somebody else. And it may be somebody that you already know. It may be somebody that you don't know at all. But more than just getting through your day, invest in their day. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them how you can pray for them. Invite them over for dinner. Take them out for dessert tonight, whatever it might be. Invest in them and be a friend to them first. And then watch God do something very, very special in your life. I promise you, people are going to come to church because they have a need and they're searching for an answer to that need. But people are also going to come to church because they want friends. They want genuine, good friends, lasting friends, godly people, Christian friendship. They want that, and they're searching for it. And sometimes it's sad that even in a church like ours, we have people go in and come out and go in and come out, and they walk out and they feel like they don't have any friends. And so tonight, maybe just as you look around here, who is it that you can be a friend to? May God convict us. May God challenge us. And may God give us the courage to step out and be that friend to somebody.